Lutheran, Hiawatha, Iowa. Reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our first reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, page 732 in your pew Bibles. And we read Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 11. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. In that day the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time to recover the remnant that remains of his people from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the coastlands of the sea. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from the Gospel of Luke.
Chapter 1, verses 26 through 35 and 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found a favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This ends our reading.
Thanks be to God.
Our next reading is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, page 1032, beginning at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." This is the reading. We continue with our readings from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. This is our reading. continuing at Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is our reading. Continuing at Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" When Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they'd offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is our reading. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. The text is based on the first gospel promise we find in Scripture. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. and the fall of man. Sin has entered the world through the lies that Satan had told to Adam and Eve. And they, trusting in their own wisdom rather than in God, believed those lies. And death had entered into the world. And they were trapped. Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is our text. Oh, what a different world we might be living in today, except for one man. At the moment, I'm talking about Winston Churchill. There's a couple of new movies that are out. One is already hitting the DVDs. It's the story of the Battle of Dunkirk, where British forces were surrounded by the Germans. And but for a mighty and daring act of deliverance from the people of Britain itself, the British forces might have been destroyed. And Europe today could still be in the hands of Nazi Germany. The other movie that's out, though, is, if you will, the backstory of the politics that were going on back in Britain as those British forces were surrounded. For many years now, the British people, who remembered World War I and the millions upon millions of casualties and deaths, the ugliness of trench warfare, were so afraid of war that they would do just about anything to avoid it. A man by the name of Neville Chamberlain, who was the Prime Minister of Britain, had traveled to meet with Hitler many different times. He would develop peace treaties to avoid war with him, only to have Hitler break his promises and invade a new land. The British are surrounded. Their doom looks almost inevitable. And back at home, those same political forces that had negotiated treaty upon treaty with Hitler were now planning on trying to negotiate another treaty, if you will, to give Hitler all of Europe if he would just leave Great Britain alone. Somewhat surprising, because I, until recently, really didn't know this aspect of that part of history. Those voices were among the most powerful in British government. But there was one very loud voice which stood against them. It was the voice of Churchill. He has a famous line where he talks about fighting on the beaches and in the hills and in the valleys, of going to war and only accepting defeat when the last British citizen lies choking in his own blood. War is a gruesome thing. And I suppose it's right to want to avoid it. But the truth of history is that sometimes it's the only choice you have. And today, if that one voice had not stood steadfast, seeking out war as the only solution, our world might look very different today. Europe was defeated. It might still be in the hands of Nazi Germany to this day. To the woman, God said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." You've probably heard that word enmity before, but a lot of people don't really understand what it means. If you will, it's related to the word enemy. God was saying that he was going to put war between man and Satan. And there would be pain that was going to follow. "He shall bruise your head," the seed of woman, who eventually would come, would, if you will, crush Satan beneath his feet. But he would be wounded as well. Tonight, what we commemorate is the battle of that war. It seems like such a calm and wondrous and, if you will, comforting sort of night, beholding the child being lovingly adored by his parents, shepherds coming to worship him, ultimately the wise men from the east appearing, offering him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. But make no mistake, the battle was engaged. Christ didn't come to earth to simply teach us about what we should do. We were already defeated. Every one of us ultimately is doomed to death, and try as you might, there's no way you can free yourself from that enemy. In our own foolishness, we have believed the lies of Satan. We've listened to the promises that he makes. Oh, go ahead and do this. You won't get in any trouble. Go ahead and do that. No one's going to get hurt. Again and again, he promises that no harm will come to us or no harm will come to others if we just follow him and listen to his voice. But he has been and always will be a liar. And if you deal with Satan and you believe his lies, there is only one way that will end for you, and that is in your own destruction. And when God looked upon our broken condition, he knew there was nothing that we could do anymore to free ourselves from the trap that had ensnared us by our own foolish and ignorant ways. And so he went to his own son. And he said to him, "You must go and do battle for him." And the son listened to his father. And he came to earth. And he took on human flesh to fight with Satan to death itself. But because he was not a mere man, but also God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us, when things looked the darkest, as if the enemy had already won, the troops were encircled, all hope was lost, he rises again on the third day and declares the ultimate victory over sin and death. And he promises to you and me that if we put our faith and trust into him, that the victory he won in rising from the dead will not be just his victory, but it will be ours as well. My dear friends, we are in a war. A war for our very souls. There is no peace that you can make with Satan. You can't win by letting him into your life, thinking, "Oh, this is just harmless. I can negotiate my way out of this. I have the power to stand before him." No, you don't. But when we put our trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus, that babe born in Bethlehem, born to go to the cross and shed his blood for us, and then to rise again, our victory is guaranteed to us. It is, in essence, a joyful night, because the battle is now fully engaged with the birth of our Savior Jesus. God grant that throughout our lives we follow him where he goes. Make the decisions that he wants us to make. Trust in the gifts that he gives to us of forgiveness and eternal life, knowing that through our faith in him, that ultimate victory will be ours. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.